taking it back to Rosie on the house. For all you Arizona homeowners that might have a project you're trying to tackle right now, Chuck and Surprise this morning wanted to know if a particular situation was load-bearing. Can I remove a wall and open up the house a little bit? Stuart called a little bit later with a water question that I wasn't sure I could answer, so we're currently reaching out to our Lifeline water treatment experts to try and get his question answered. Let's see if we can go to Stephen right now. We've got callers loading up. The number's 1-888-767-4348. Stephen, good morning.
I think Peggy. That was a Stephen from earlier.
Stephen is seating. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. I perfectly apologize.
Peggy wants to talk about some outside faucet.
Hello?
Good morning.
Hello, Peggy. Another plumbing question. Good morning.
Yes, I have an outside faucet, and periodically it will turn on by itself. About the same time in the morning, about 5:15, I had a plumber come out, and he put a new faucet on it. And I had my PSI checked, and it came on again the other day.
In 30 years of broadcasting, I've never, ever heard of this. It's not an electric automatic valve. This is a hose bib that you have to turn on with your hands.
Correct.
To get the water to come out.
Correct. And when I went online, they said there are some things that are called ghost faucets. They can happen on the inside of the house with the bathrooms and showers or the kitchen or whatever. I happen to have the one that's outside.
I am perfectly, totally, and completely stumped. So
yeah,
when that
was the plumber that I had out here. He thought I was crazy.
Well, I do too, but I'm not going to say that on air. Where are you, Peggy?
I'm in Peoria.
Okay. Now listen. When I'm totally, completely, and embarrassingly stumped, I like to come see the situation myself so that I can solve it and then add it to my database to cut down and eliminate the number of times this happens to me live on air in the future. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Okay, Peggy. So we're going to have our call screener, Julia, who's in the studio this morning, pick you back up and get your phone number and I'll give you a call next week and schedule a time. I can come out and take a look at it. And then we're just going to have to diagnose what in the world could possibly be causing that. I have no clue. Do you?
You know, I was kind of listening out of the side of one ear because I'm trying to get our Lifeline for our water treatment specialist here. So I didn't hear all of it other than there's a ghost in the water line.
Hose bib.
No chance it's a person?
Yes. That's my number one suspicion. I don't know who would be doing it.
Put a camera out there?
Yeah.
Maybe
that is exactly what we'll do. I don't know. So I don't know. We're checking, Peg. I'll be at your house. We'll take a look at it. The topic is garages. We're broadcasting live from Sanderson Ford. We're talking about it seems like cooling is like one of the number one questions that comes up. How am I going to cool my garage? We actually here at Sanderson have two coolers set up and operating right outside the door of the showroom, so you can actually experience it yourself. It's a shop blaster, a vap cooler with a tool, roll-around toolbox.
Which needs water. I walked in front of it a minute ago, and I can tell I need
to
add a little bit more. I didn't put it up on the hose.
All right.
Oh, you like the Thorm Armor Hex gloves? One of the shop technicians, that's a puncture-proof glove for cactus gardeners.
And then we've got the patio
or someone trimming this country
cooler that's an ice chest in the top, a vap cooler in the bottom. It's a roll-around unit. It's a great way to cool the garage. Now, once you've got the garage cooled, you can start looking at how now can I organize this room so it can truly become a more functional all-around overflow room for the entire house. The very next thing you want to do once you make the room comfortable is you're going to want to make it clean and organized. And I don't know if you've Googled garage storage systems recently, but they have some very clever ways that they have started hanging different appliances and different fixtures and different recreational toys in your garage. There's also a rack that I love. Wondering where to keep all those banker boxes of documents and archived information and tax returns. They make a rack that actually drops from the garage ceiling that sits above the garage door, space you can't use for anything else. So as the garage door operates freely, up and down, that space between the garage rack, the garage door track, and the garage door ceiling, they can actually hang shelving there. It is absolutely the perfect place to put those banker box storage documents. Label them, put them back to back. You can actually have four big rows of them, the length of the garage door track, and keep years of information archived up there. Now, I would tell you that's a safe place to keep it. Don't keep that kind of cardboard and stuff on the floor. The storage of cardboard in the garage is a what we call conditions conducive for termite infestation. Termites absolutely love cardboard and cellulose. So get them up off the ground. Get them up in those storage shelving systems. We have, believe it or not, a canoe hanging from the ceiling of our garage. And I use it to store some of my hunting equipment that I don't use very often and fishing equipment that doesn't use very often. It's a great little receptacle, and it's very, very, the genre is very easy for me to remember. Where did I put those decoys? Where did I put those fishing poles? Oh, yeah, they're in the canoe. So you get a ladder, climb up, there it is. Everything's kept right there in the canoe. That's been a really cool storage facility. And then everybody always asks questions about it because it's really a piece of artwork made from wood by the prisoners in the Angola prison at Louisiana. So
got to have something to do.
It's got a story behind it, too. So we want
And then you
can
tell them it's really not a canoe. It's a pirogue.
It's a pirogue. We want you to consider taking a look at that garage and consider using it as that extra overflow room. If it's cool, if it's organized, if it's clean, if everything's off the floor, anytime you ever want to use it as that overflow room, you just back the cars out, close the overhead garage door, and boom, you've got approximately 400 square feet of open floor space to use any way you want. Ping pong. Romy used to like to use it for the wrestling team would come over, and we'd have wrestling matches during the day, and then you'd have poker night on Friday nights with the guys. We've got more callers. Let's go ahead and get to them. Have we had any luck finding somebody on the Lifeline yet? Well, let's get him. Let's bring the Lifeline in.
Okay.
Who is our Lifeline?
Dave Crispin.
Should be Dave Crispin.
Ah, Dave is here. Hey, Dave.
Good morning.
Hey, Dave. I've got a.
Can I help you?
Hey, buddy. You're on air, and we've got a caller who's having a new home built, and the builder ran a designated cold water line to the kitchen sink, telling him that line will never be softened. It's outside the water softener loop. Is that a new code requirement?
No, it's not a new code requirement, but it's done quite often. It used to be done almost all the time, but some builders have now gone to where they put the treated line there, you know, because quite frankly, about the only reason they really do it, Rosie, is they believe you should be able to get hard water from somewhere in the house. And, you know, the kitchen sink is kind of convenient.
Okay.
You know, with all the mineral salts and everything we have in our valley water, it's not so tasty to drink, you know, if you have a treated system and that one's excluded, but that's the way they do it. And very often they do the water line to the refrigerator the same way when they do that.
Okay, very good. Well, Dave of
now,
Eco Water, I appreciate you
saying
that. You
say that's the way
us.
They do that.
A percentage if he, of them.
Mm-hmm. If he wanted it softened, he could get it softened to the kitchen sink.
Well, you could. That would generally involve opening up, if it's just, now, this is before they've finished the plumbing, you know, closed up the wall.
Yeah, this is a new build.
All the lines are right there. They kind of are stubborn and want to throw back resistance on it because they don't want to do a change. But, yeah, it can physically be changed, and it could physically be changed after. if it's coming from there. Now, if they did it at the main and just took a leg off and ran the hard water loop, if you will, from there, all your outside faucets and the kitchen, that would be difficult. But that's an extremely low percentage of the time they do that.
All right. I haven't seen it. Gary, do we still have Stuart online? Can we bring Stuart up to visit with Dave and make sure we've got all of Stuart's questions answered?
Unfortunately, no, we don't.
Okay, so hopefully Stuart was listening. We were stumped with a question about water treatment and a line to the kitchen sink. We reached out to one of our statewide Arizona Rosie certified water treatment specialists, Mr. Dave Crisman from EcoWater. Dave, thanks a million for letting us interrupt your Saturday. You were like on a European cruise or something, were you?
No. Just cruising on the Phoenix streets.
Okay. All right. Dave, thanks a million. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Bye now.
All right. With other callers still on hold, let's see if we can get to, shall we go to Keith? That opens the line for you at 1-888-767-4348. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning, Rosie. Hey, I have a question regarding flooring. I bought the laminate flooring from Costco, ordered the bullnose strips to do the stairs with, and they say to glue the bullnose strip to one of the planks,
right,
and then, you know, put it down and attach it. And I've, you know, done woodworking, and I like Gorilla Glue. Is there any reason I can, you know, I think Gorilla Glue would hold better, but do you have any advice on adhering that bullnose strip to the plank on the front of a stair?
Well, I'm like you, Keith. I use a lot of Gorilla Glue, but if the manufacturer's instructions say liquid nail, I'm thinking if I want to protect the warranty, I think I'm using what they have in the written instructions.
You brought up that's, you know, valid point. The warranty is probably everything. So if I violate it by using the wrong glue, then I'm out. So, yes. Okay. That's what I needed to hear.
All right. How big a project have you got going here?
We bought 800 square feet.
All right. Where are you running it? Up the stairs, obviously.
I'm running up the stairs. Then I'm doing, there's just a small hallway upstairs between the three bedrooms, and we're doing all three bedrooms.
And you're doing all the bedrooms, getting rid of all the carpet.
When you have dogs, you get tired of fighting the dog fur, you know.
I'm with you. I really am.
And the best gift ever for my wife was one of those little Roombas.
Yes.
To runs around on the floor, sucks up all that dog hair. It's amazing.
How with dogs? How often do you have to clean that out? Every night when you get home?
I have a Labrador that she sheds like crazy. So every time it runs, yes, we empty the little basket out. And it's full, but she's, you know, a white lab, and, you know, it's like a snowstorm. And we were sweeping dust to, you know, swiftering the floor every day just to stay behind her. But now with the Roomba, you just press the button and away it goes.
Now, you aren't afraid that camera on the front of that is projecting the little lint balls and gum wrappers underneath your couch to like the whole universe?
You're welcome to it if it means I don't have to clean up dog hair.
Right. All right, my friend. Thank you for calling. Good luck with the laminate flooring project. We're going to take a quick break and come back to callers at 1-888-767-4348.